If you would this morning, take your Bibles. Let's open them up to Philippians chapter 4, verse 21 and 22. Very common closing salutation at the end of the letter to the Philippians. Paul writes, "Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." And Father, as we open your word this morning, we do pray you would help us to be sanctified in our relationships to one another, sanctified in our corporate love for one another. Lord, there's a call here that's clear, and I pray it would ring clearly in our hearts. And Lord, that it would resonate in our wills. And Lord, you would change us into this image in Christ's name. Amen. Last week, we closed the book of Jude, a little letter at the back of your New Testament. We found it was a little book with a big message. It was about the invasion of false teachers in the church, but also included some practical directions on how we are to keep ourselves from becoming apostate. And we closed last time with a grand and glorious benediction of praise at the end of the letter. And so the question is, where do we go from here? A couple of you asked me during the week, Donald, where are we going next? And in 2 weeks, it's my plan to go back to the Gospels at the very beginning of the New Testament. In fact, I plan to begin an exposition of the Gospel of John. Because it's in the Gospels where we meet Christ. For many of us, it will be a time to refresh our hearts with Jesus Christ firsthand. And we've been exploring over the past many years some of the grand doctrines of the Christian faith. We've gone through the book of Romans and discovered all the depths of what it means to embrace the gospel of grace. We've looked at practical Christianity in the book of Ephesians. We saw warnings about false teachers in 1 Peter and 2 Peter and Jude. And I don't know about you, but I'm hungry. I'm thirsty to feast on the divine majesty of Jesus Christ and to approach him afresh in my own heart for purposes not only of obedience but purposes of greater worship and praise. For those of you who are new Christians that are in our midst, I can think of no book more practical for you than to introduce you to Christ in the book of John, and that you might know your Savior and know his deity and know his salvation and his call for discipleship. And for every unsaved person in our midst, those of you who might have doubts and questions about your faith or whether you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what better book could we turn to than to discover Christ than the book of John? There John writes in John chapter 20, verse 31, "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ." So it was a book written to those of you who are without faith, that you might come to believe that Jesus Christ truly is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. For the next few Lord's days, though, what I'd like to do is to explore a couple of topics that meet us, I believe, where we are at this time in our church growth and maturity. If you're visiting today, if you've been on our webpage and you saw that it's our regular commitment to preach expositorily through various books of the Bible, I hope you won't be too disappointed, because we're not going to be doing that today. But I'm looking out there, I don't see any first-time visitors that are with us, so that probably addresses that concern. But hang in there with us, because for the next couple of weeks, I will be introducing the book of John, but normally that's how we preach here at Trinity Bible Church, verse by verse, book by book, precept upon precept. But from time to time, it's just good to stop and to address some family issues in our midst. There's no shortage of needs that I could preach on this morning. We've touched on the one need that I'm going to look at today before. I preached on this subject in, when we were going through the book of Romans, chapter 16, verse 16. There we see Paul wrote again, "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." We approach the same subject again and repeat it again in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. "Greet you one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I want to rest assured that I'm not going to be preaching on kissing today. That's not the purpose of this message. That's not the need that I see in our congregation. But rather, it's a renewed call to greet one another in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I want us to do is I want to encourage all of us to be faithful in loving one another in such a way that we're regularly greeting all the saints in Christ. At the end of Philippians, we see that Paul writes, "Salute, greet every saint in Christ Jesus, the brethren which are with you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." You say, "Well, Don, why is that such a pressing need, do you think, in the Trinity Bible Church?" After all, doesn't greet mean to talk to one another? Don't we do a lot of that around Trinity Bible Church? And why is that such a pressing issue in light of all the other pressing issues that we could be talking about? We could be talking about evangelizing the lost and the great need that's there in our own body. We could be talking about the hows and whys of personal discipleship and how important that is in the life of the church. We could be talking about ways to strengthen our family life. And it's true, there's an endless need of areas where we could be preaching as far as growth and maturity in Christ and the church. But I find it interesting that five times in the New Testament, God calls us as His people to greet everyone. In other words, there's an emphasis in Scripture in this area. And I believe it's pressing because it is one of the most basic ways that we as a church can demonstrate Christian love to one another. We might not ever be given the opportunity to lay down our lives for the brethren in our life. We might not ever reach a point of need in this community, in this church, where we have to sell everything we have and give it to the brethren. But there is one way that we can daily express our true love for one another as Christians. And that is by mutually greeting one another in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. One writer puts it, it's the first step in the ladder of Christian love. It's entrance level love in the body of Christ. And by the way, this is something we all can do. You all might not be able to put your lives down for somebody. You all might not be able to sell everything and give everything to the saints. But every one of us in this room who name the name of Christ can greet one another. You say, "But Don, I still don't see why it's such a need in our body." I mean, weren't you there down in Sunday school today when, Tim had to kind of corral everybody together and start teaching his class because there was so much greeting going on. And I did hear the roar of the greeting right before church as I was in my office and it was coming up through the stairway and there was a lot of greeting going on. I believe we're growing in this area as a church. I think we're maturing in this area as a church. But I think there's still a need for more growth. And so I'm going to push us a little bit more as a congregation to even move further in the area of what it means to truly greet each other in the name of Christ from a heart of Christian love. And the reason why this is so important is because of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that first verse where Paul reminds us that if we don't have love, what do we have? We have nothing. This preaching is nothing. This worship is nothing. We as a congregation are nothing if we don't have love. And if we do have love, we will greet one another. And so there's room to grow in this area. You say, "Well, Don, I say hi to my friends on Sunday morning, and I give the old Wyoming two-finger handshake over the steering wheel when I pass a brother or sister in Christ on the road." But what I want us to see this morning, one thing is that Christian greeting is more than just giving a wave or a handshake or a hi, how you doing? And for that, I want you to look at Luke chapter 10, verse 4. Now, what's happening in Luke chapter 10, verse 4 is Jesus Christ is sending out 70 of his missionary trainees into the field for some on-the-job training in the area of being a missionary. 70 disciples are being sent out. And in verse 4, he's telling these missionaries, these young missionaries, what it is that they need to do and take and how they're to conduct themselves on this journey. And he says, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes. Isn't that interesting? In other words, don't load up with goods and put a big backpack on and go off with, you know. But trust the Lord as you're going out along the way. He'll provide your needs. And then he adds this amazing command. Think about this. This is spoken to young missionaries on the road to go out and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, as you go, salute no man by the way. In other words, in some of your translations, as you're going along the road of as a missionary, don't greet those that pass you on the road. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds strange to me. I mean, as you're going from town to town, as you're going from house to house, and you're passing people along the way, you're a missionary of Jesus Christ, don't bother to greet those that you pass along the way. I mean, do you find that odd? You think that would be the very thing he might encourage us to do, is to greet people that we pass along the way. So what did our Lord mean by this? Did he mean that now that you're missionaries, and by the way, you're representing the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, you can put your nose up in the air and you can just go right past people on the road and ignore them because you've got big kingdom duties that you have to perform? Well, clearly our Lord did not intend for his disciples to be unkind or to neglect good manners. In fact, the very next verse, we see that they're encouraging them to go into the household of those people who invite them in, and to enter their homes and to evoke a blessing on them and their family. So the emphasis here in Luke 10 seems to be in the area of not wasting your time when it comes to carrying out the duties that I've given you as missionaries. Don't greet them on the road, because such greetings seem to take up a lot of your time to the point where it's taking you away from that which I'm pointing you to do. And I found some insight in this area from reading the notes of Barnes in this on the customs of the Jews in those days. And because a greeting during the days of Christ was not just a, hey, you know, a Wyoming over the steering wheel, two finger, how are you? It wasn't, hey, how was your week? Good, bye. It wasn't that kind of greeting. In fact, Barnes describes a typical greeting that the two Arabs or two Jews might have had as they passed each other. He says, if two Arabs of equal rank meet each other, they extend to each other the right hand, and having clasped hands, they elevate it as if to kiss them. Each one then draws back his hand and kisses it instead of his friend's, and then places it upon his forehead. And the parties then continue the salutations by kissing each other's beards. They give thanks to God that they are once more permitted to see their friend. They pray to the Almighty on his behalf. Sometimes they repeat not less than 10 times this ceremony of grasping hands and kissing beards. So you can see that if you did this every time you pass someone along the way, you'd spend all your time kissing beards and clasping hands and praying for one another, and you would never get to your destination. Or making it contemporary, as Bill would call the long extended goodbyes at Trinity Bible Church as Jewish goodbyes, that would go on and on and on as people are waiting to leave the sanctuary. In other words, there's all kinds of greetings. The kinds of greetings I believe that our Lord is referring to, that Paul's referring here to, are really meaningful, really meaningful greetings that take some time. They're more than just, hi, how are you? They have substance. They're not superficial nods. This is the reference that we see from the culture of the day. And I sense this manner of greeting one another is greatly neglected in the life of the church today. We've been growing in this area. We've been maturing in this area. But I believe we have some room to grow some more, and perhaps some blind areas that we need to consider. Now, if you're in the inner circle of Trinity Bible Church, whatever that is, you might not have any idea what I'm talking about this morning. because you have your friends and everyone talks to you and you talk to everyone else and you feel warm and accepted here at Trinity Bible Church and all's well. You feel loved. On the other hand, if you find yourself outside of this inner circle, you know exactly what I'm going to be talking about this morning. Some of you know what it's like to be present in a church and wonder if in fact you have somehow become invisible and didn't know it. Perhaps you know firsthand what it's like to enter through the church door with a heart filled with joy, with a heart eager and ready to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And instead of joy, you walk into the very presence of God's people and you've been ignored. You felt the heartache of sitting alone and watching everyone else visit with their friends and you personally being ignored. You're hearing all the exciting events which took place last week and you're not part of them. You know, and I say this by way of correction for us as a church because in some ways the counterfeits do a better job than the real thing. Sometimes the bars and the local pubs do a much better job of greeting one another than the Church of Jesus Christ. And for my proof text there, I take you back to the 80s sitcom, Cheers, and I take you to no less than their theme song. That's the place where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad that you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. I mean, even the bar knows it. This is a place where everybody knows each other's name. Now, I'm not suggesting we add this to our hymn book as one of the songs that we sing. But what I am suggesting is that I believe there's a truth there that we ought to consider. If we did, we'd have to put it to a different tune, I think, to make it more singable today. But are we at a place, as a very small congregation, are we at a place where we can say with confidence that we know each other's names? Are we at a place where people are glad that we came? And are you glad that others came as well? Part of the needs that arise from the reality that the command to greet one another is cross-cultural. It's part of the struggle we face as a church. This runs against our culture. For those of you who are saved, non-Christian background, more than likely that non-Christian background was one where you just didn't talk to people and go up to them and greet them and ask them how they're doing and visit with them. And this wasn't part of your growing up. But if you were a Jew, this is part of your culture. This is kind of almost second nature for you when the command of God comes to greet one another. I mean, so for some of us, we're strangers to the idea of going up and carrying on a conversation with people we don't know very well. We feel awkward welcoming people who visit us as a church. We don't know what to say, and then so out of being awkward, we choose not to say anything at all. Also, greeting one another runs contrary to our flesh. Even though we've been saved by the grace of God, even though we're new creatures in Christ, that flesh is very self-oriented. It still is. We battle that. We battle self every day. And so when we're called by God to think of others, to talk to others, to take the focus off of ourselves, our friends, our own pleasure, and go out into an area where we're uncomfortable, we resist that. Finally, many seem to have blind spots in their sanctification, in the area of their love for the brethren. There's certain people that, for some reason, we find it hard to see, even in a small group, in a room like this. There's certain groups of people that we're not as sensitive to their presence as other people. For example, there's those who are married with children who are here, but you're blind to single people. When you look in a room like this, you focus right in on other married couples with their children, and for some reason, it's not registering in your mind the single people that are in your midst. The hoary hairs, the gray hairs, those of us who are older, some are retired, you know, we find it hard to see the teenagers of the church, the young ones of the church. And definitely that when a visitor visits, we're so focused on all of our fellow brethren in Christ, we don't see the visitor, the new face, the new person that walked through the door. In fact, the visitor might come and think, well, what kind of a group is this? How friendly are these people? And I want you to, you know, we are a friendly church in this sense. We pray for visitors. We love to have visitors in our midst. We're glad when visitors are here. We see that as an answer to prayer, and it's a blessing to be with visitors. And our prayer is that the visitors would receive a blessing as well. But sometimes we have to confess as a church, we have blind spots. And we neglect those that we have a heart for. Perhaps we're just not comfortable talking with visitors, and we need to learn how to grow in that area. And we're comfortable to let other people do the greeting for us. Now, Dorm's back there. He'll talk to the visitor. I'll let him and Sharon Ann talk to him. And so we delegate that vicariously to other people. Now, can you imagine, imagine with me what it feels like to walk into a strange church for the first time. Did you do that on your trip? Did you walk into any churches for the first time as strangers? Two, okay. So you know what it feels like. Good and bad, or all good, all some? Okay, good and neutral. See, a little rating system going on here. But can you imagine what it feels like to walk into a strange church for the first time? I mean, all you know is that, okay, it's the church on the corner, the white church on the corner with the green doors. I know I got to go through those doors, but I don't know what's on the other side of those doors. It's a mystery. I've got kids. Do they have a nursery? Where is the nursery? What's the rules of the nursery? Thank you, honey. Where's the restrooms for my kids in case they have to go to the bathroom? Do we sit? Do we stand? Do we kneel at this church? Am I going to have to stand up and say something publicly about who I am and why I'm visiting and you know, in front of all these people that I don't know and feel awkward? Do you have to do that? Oh, whew. I wonder how long the service lasts. Is it going to go on and on and on? You know, you're a stranger in a strange land when you go into a new church. And you have all these anxieties that are building up when you visit. And these anxieties are compounded when you get inside because you expect to see a warm face and a friendly greeting. And no one greets you. I thought church was supposed to be a place with friendly people. Is it something I said? Is it the way that I'm dressed? Is it something that I did? What happened? Because you see, everything else in a church can be seen so well ordered. You can have a church, for example, where the preaching is excellent. You can have a church where the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs are sung and they're filled with joy and the worship is a blessing. But if there is no love on display in that congregation, even though all of that's going on, and that love isn't being displayed by warm greetings amongst the brethren, the rest of it is all in vain. Let me give you an illustration. It'd be like a 5-star restaurant. World-class chef, trained over at the Cordon Bleu in Paris, France. Food is flown in from all over the world. The best of food is being prepared. The furnishings, the decor is just finished down to the T. The atmosphere is very inviting. And so you walk into this restaurant, and here you are, and there's no one to greet you. All the waiters and waitresses, and everyone's going about doing all their work, and you're invisible. And so you see the tables, you're wandering around, you don't know where to go, you don't know what table to sit at. You want to order, you don't know how to order, so you have to go into the kitchen and tell the cook what you want, and he makes the food, and you have to go back to your own table and bring it there and sit by yourself. Someone throws a check at you and you pay it and you're ready for a smile at the end of the meal and you're ready to someone say thank you for coming and no one says a word, so you just get up and walk out. I don't care how good that chef is. I don't care how excellent that food is. If that is your experience with those people who are there to greet you, The evening's ruined. The evening is ruined, and it's all in vain. Perhaps you've never felt like Mr. or Mrs. Invisible firsthand. You've never felt the heartaches of being ignored in church. Let me give you a field trip. Summer's coming up. Some of you are going to be going on vacation. Take an opportunity and visit other churches. And do so as a stranger and see what it feels like walking into a church for the first time. It's completely different than what you're used to. And take notes on how you feel. Either you're going to leave saying, what a blessing. What a blessing, like you're saying with one of these churches. What a blessing it was to be in the house of God with God's people and feeling the warmth of their fellowship and acceptance and the joy of that fellowship. Or on the other hand, leaving with a heartache, even though you've come to worship God. You've experienced the unloving reception of a Christian family. Think with me how important a warm greeting is to you and to me. Think how important it is to have someone smile with a warm smile and a hug and a handshake or a warm greeting. A smile that lightens up in your presence. When fellow believers that take a personal interest in you and know you by name, know about your life, care about you. Because when this happens, this is a church that Jesus is speaking of when he says, by this shall all men know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's a church that loves is a church that greets. And I believe it's beneficial to all that we do because when you're warmly greeted, God is preparing your heart to receive the word. When you're warmly greeted, God is preparing your heart for heartfelt worship and praise. And God will be glorified as his love in us is put on display before the hearts and eyes of others. And by the way, this is so important because this could be the very means that God uses to open up the hearts of unbelievers who God brings in our midst to be receptive to hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Mary and I were unsaved, we'd been married for about 7 years, and we finally walked into a church, strangers, for the first time. Unsaved couple. It's our testimony that it was the warm greeting of those people that went a long ways into a week later, us being on our knees at our couch with a pastor next to us, confessing Christ as our Savior and Lord. Because what that told us is this is a people that love each other. These are people that are concerned about me and my heart and my soul. And therefore, whatever message they have must be real. That's how God used it in our life. Now, as we look carefully at this passage, what we see is a fourfold breadth of greeting that Paul is speaking of here. And I want to look at this. It's a fourfold breadth of greeting. And the first area of level of greeting is, Paul says, salute every saint in Christ Jesus, verse 20 or 21. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. Paul is extending his personal greetings to every Christian at Philippi. No exceptions. No favorites. To them all. This is what Paul did at the end of Romans chapter 16, except there he does it by name. Starts naming through the various saints at the Church of Rome. You say, well, yeah, Donald, that's what apostles are supposed to do. They're paid for this kind of thing. Keep names of people, greet everybody in the church. That's their apostolic duty. That's what pastors do. Ah, but this is the same Paul that's exhorting us at the very end of Philippians chapter 4 to do what? To go off and do the very same thing. Greet all the saints. Greeting all the saints. We're to greet all the saints here at Trinity Bible Church. We're not just to greet our circle of friends. We're not just to greet our extended family members, because there's some big families here at Trinity Bible Church, and it's not like old home week. Let's get caught up on family life. We have the rest of the week to do that. But let the gray-haired saints greet the teenagers. Greet everyone. Let the single college students greet the married couples. Let the banker who is rich in the things of this world greet the poor widows who are impoverished. Greet those you have issues with. Greet those who you have some ought with. Don't neglect anyone. Look around this room and greet every single one of the brethren in this room personally. Now, some churches take 2 or 3 minutes out of their worship service to say, stand up, turn around, and greet the person behind you and tell them you're glad they're with us. Now, that's a step of being obedient to this very command that Paul is telling us to do. It's a step in the right direction, but I believe it falls way short of what the command really entails. It's a bit artificial, number one. It's a bit superficial, number two. It's not spontaneous, number three. And unfortunately, it's under compulsion. And sometimes it's better that we not say anything at all than to do something out of compulsion. And then some churches have greeters. And I'll tell you, we're talking about this. Does God want us at Trinity Bible Church to have greeters? And we might be talking more about that in the days ahead. In other words, people who are trained, who have gifting in the areas of welcoming people and showing them around the church and letting them know how important it is that they're there this Lord's Day. A ministry. That can be helpful. But I think that falls short of the command that we have here as well. Because this is a command to the church to greet all the saints of the church. Every believer. This isn't some small ministry in the church. This is the ministry of everyone in the body of Christ. If we're going to be greeting every saint that comes through the door, there's no need, really. If we're faithful to this, there's no need for there to be greeters at Trinity Bible Church. And think about this. We're going to be with each other for all eternity. Let's don't ignore one another in the here and the now. Now, there's a second level of greeting. And Paul says, the brethren which are with me greet you. Now, where's Paul writing the book of Philippians from? Remember? Where is he? Jail. He's in jail. And so he has brethren with him in the jail setting that he's in, back in Rome, about 1,000 miles away. And this includes people like Timothy, we see in chapter 1, verse 1. It includes the writer to this letter, Epaphroditus, as well, and other believers who have gathered around Paul to encourage him during his time of imprisonment. And he says, this group of people that are around me, by the way, they're chiming in with me at the end of this letter, and they're extending their greetings to you. Fellow saints, more than likely saints that they didn't even know personally back in Philippi. So, Christians are to greet other Christians of other churches, encourage them. And by the way, this is one of the things we do in our prayer meetings. We often read prayer letters. I'm going to be reading a couple of them after lunch. And they're usually from pastors from the four corners of the world. Pastors and missionaries send out their greetings. Not only their greetings, but you'll notice in many of their letters, they greet Trinity Bible Church on behalf of the brethren that are with them as well. They extend the greetings of another church to us. People we don't even know their names. It's part of Christian love. Or we might get a letter from Africa. I'm going to read one after lunch from James Williamson, Zambia, where we're going to see there's an urgent need in his life, in his family, in his ministry right now. But as part of that, he's extending the greetings of the brethren there in Africa to us here in Powell, Wyoming. They're crying out and saying, extend our greetings as well. Now, there's a third level of greetings that's taking place here in this passage, verse 22, where he says, all the saints salute you. Now, not just the believers that were gathered around Paul while he was in prison, but now he's speaking of the church at Rome, the whole church. The body of Christ at Rome is greeting the body of Christ at Philippi. Church to church. And one last group, or one last part of this level of greeting, is also seen in that same verse. Chiefly, they that are of Caesar's household greet you. Now, the Philippians were no strangers to the Romans. About 100 years before Paul wrote this letter, Philippi became a Roman colony. There were ties, obviously, legal ties with Rome. They were quite familiar with the movers and shakers back in Rome, and definitely the household of Caesar. And apparently, what's happened is the gospel now has spread. Paul's in Rome, And we don't know exactly where or who these people are that are in the household of Caesar, whether it's Caesar's family, or whether or not this might be a more general reference to the Praetorian guards who Paul might have been chained to at this time. We don't know. But all we know is within the very household of Caesar, in the inner circle of Caesar, the gospel went and there were people who were saved. And those people now are extending their greetings 1,000 miles away to the church at Philippi. Now what I want us to look at is just some practical outworkings of this principle of greeting one another here in Philippians 4. And how we might grow in our mutual love for one another and our expression of that love as well. Number one, Paul is commanding every true believer here today to greet one another in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't see any exceptions or any excuses for any one of us that are here. We're all, this is speaking to all of us. There's no room for anyone to say, I object. I'm not gifted that way. That's just not the way I'm wired. I don't feel comfortable doing that. I'm not extroverted like some of you are. I find it difficult to speak and go on and on and on with excuses. Simply, the Bible says, greet one another. Now I believe, and I'm going to speak to a small group here today first, that begins with the leadership of Trinity Bible Church. That begins with elders, pastors, deacons. We are called as part of the body of Christ to greet every brother and sister in Christ. In fact, I've thought about this week. How do we carry this out? You know, we're involved in elder visitation. We go into the homes and we visit people and greet each other during the year. But I began to reflect on the size of our congregation. And there's no reason why, in the time setting that we have every Lord's Day, where it's not possible for us to actually personally greet every saint that comes through that door. It's possible. And we should do that. I mean, I think, for example, before Sunday school, we have a great opportunity. The sweet rolls are there, and people are coming in from the front door. There's a time to greet each other then. Then there's between Sunday school and church, a quick time to visit during that time and greet one another. There's a time, originally, when we had the fellowship luncheon, and the purpose of that was that we could greet one another during a meal. But listen, brethren, what we've done is we've fallen back into a default pattern of our own little group again with our meals. We're sitting with our same friends. We're sitting with our same families. There's people that are being ignored during the meal, and they're sitting by themselves over in the corner because we, as a church, are not faithful to the calling of extending love and greeting one another in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have many opportunities during lunch, during the prayer meeting, and after the prayer meeting. Warm opportunities to extend greetings to one another. And so one of the reminders that comes to us as elders is that people come before study. People come before ministry because people are ministry. And ministry really is people. But it doesn't stop there. This spoke to us as elders and deacons, but this is for all of us as a church family. Are you a professing believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Either yes or no. And if you say yes, the Bible says, greet one another in the name of the Lord Jesus. Greet all the brethren in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're called to reach out to every one of God's people and greet them. Worship that does not greet fellow worshipers is no worshiper worship at all. Because our worship is corporate. It's an expression of love to God and therefore a love to one another. It's a united expression of praise. And so we're to greet the brethren on the Lord's Day, and we're to greet the brethren in Bible studies during the week, and we're to greet the brethren during prayer meetings. We receive greetings from distant missionaries and letters that are sent. We hear of needs that are shared in the body of Christ, and we pray for those needs. By doing so, we greet one another. The brethren end up in the hospital, and does anyone visit them other than what? Those whose job it is to go visit them. It's the whole body of Christ. It's to greet one another in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When visitors come through the door, we're to greet them. The whole church should greet every visitor that comes through that door. And that's hard because sometimes they make a beeline out that door, and they've been here for an hour and they want to get out. Dorm, trip them on the way out, okay? We want to greet them. No, we should greet the visitors that come our way, every one of us. Not delegate that to those people who sit in the back row. Now, I find that hard because sometimes when I sit in the front row, and I'll immediately start talking to someone here, and the visitor's gone before I'm able to get to them. Be sure you put the brakes on after the worship service so you're not the first one out the door yourself. You can't greet anyone if you're the first to leave. And trip them as well, Dorm. When they go out, you trip all those who are trying to get out the door real quick. And when a visitor comes our way, anticipate what their needs are as part of the greeting process. When a visitor comes to Trinity Bible Church and they're holding a little kid in their lap or in their arms, you might say, well, by the way, would you be interested in our nursery? We do have a nursery that's downstairs. Can I show you where it is? That's just good greeting of one another. If you see someone wheeling up and they're in a van and they're unloading a wheelchair, oh, by the way, did you know that we have a ramp over here on the side? It's wheelchair access. Can I show you where it is? It's anticipating the needs of those who come through the front door. Marilyn's coming in with flowers. Someone else is coming in full of holding all kinds of food. A single mom's coming in because she has all the kids. Her husband's not with her. And she's juggling the kids and trying to unbuckle them. And a good greeting of as a brothers and sisters in Christ would be, let's go out and help them. Let's unbuckle the kids and help the kids inside the church. Make the visit of all of God's people a joy to worship the Savior. And this isn't a one-day experience. This is greeting one another in the coffee shops, greeting one another in home Bible studies. By the way, I was blessed to hear that there was like 18 or 19 ladies at the home Bible study last week. So I see there's some greeting taking place on that level, which is great. Greet each other in a way that promotes the spiritual welfare of the hearer. Greet one another with acts of hospitality, opening up your home throughout the year to strangers that God brings your way or to fellow believers in the body of Christ. Josh Gartrell shared with me just last Sunday an opportunity that if you wanted to extend greetings to someone, is that they have these young boys at the boys' home down in Warland. And some of them are being kicked loose. They're finished up at the boys' home. Their home life is in such a wreck they can't send them back home. They have no place for these boys to go. Well, what a great opportunity to greet a young man and to welcome them into our house and to minister to them the gospel of Jesus Christ as they transition back into their own home life in the days ahead. Secondly, greeting one another is a spiritual activity. It's not a mechanical activity. It springs from a heart of love. It's driven by tender affections and tender emotions towards others. Now, that could be the hard issue for some of us. Why we are not extending greetings to one another is because in our heart of hearts, we don't have this feeling of warm tenderness towards one another. And that might be the area we need to cultivate and develop in our own heart. Perhaps a brother or sister has hurt you in the past and it's hard for you to have any tender feelings toward that person, let alone greet them when they come through the door. This is a spiritual duty, not an act of the flesh. If you're not greeting, then you should confess this before the Lord, that there's a lack in your heart of love. I mean, I'm afraid that sometimes we have greeting, but it falls short of a heart driven by love. It is in the area of duty. It is in the area of superficiality. It is weak and without substance. I mean, hey, how you doing? Do we really care how they're doing? Do we want an answer? Do we want to invest in the time if the answer doesn't come back in a way that we expect it to be a part of a solution to maybe a problem? And also notice this, that we see that the scriptures regularly connect greetings with holy kisses. And I believe what this does is add a dimension of warmth and a physical dimension as well. It's more than just a, hey, how you doing? It's, hey, how you doing? It's a warm handshake. It's a hug. And if you lack tender feelings for the brethren, I would encourage you to preach a sermon to yourself. And the sermon would be from Romans 12, start thinking biblically. Let this mind be in you, which is, from Philippians, also in Christ Jesus, to think biblically. And to think biblically is what? The Word of God is what transforms your mind. And start viewing your relationship to the brethren from a heavenly perspective. See, when a brother or sister in Christ walks through those doors on the Lord's Day, doesn't matter who they are, they're professing faith in Christ. Every single one of us who are Christians have a relationship with that person. We need to preach that message to ourselves. That person loves God. That person has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I love God. That person has the Holy Spirit indwelling their heart. I have the Holy Spirit dwelling my heart. We're all heading to heaven together. We're going to be there forever and ever. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Preach that message to you, to each your own heart. And in doing so, what you do is remind yourself that we have a relationship that's built on Christ. It's a relationship of love. And then go greet that person in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're weak in this area, pray for strength and pray for boldness. If you're afraid to speak to others, ask for God to give you the strength and then step out in faith into an area where you're uncomfortable and open up your mouth and talk and greet and welcome and you'll be blessed. Listen to the needs of a hurting heart. Could this be a person I'm talking to that doesn't know Christ? Is this person discouraged? Do they have a need to be encouraged from the Scriptures? Maybe it's an area that I could pray with this person over in their own life. And whatever you do in your greeting of one another, avoid hypocrisy. Avoid greetings that are empty, greetings that are shallow. When you say, hello, how are you? Care how a person really is. When you say, I'm glad that you're here today, be truly glad that someone has joined us and is in our presence to worship the Lord. And so today, when Christians greet one another, it must reflect the same dynamic, not dishonesty, but true, practical expressions of love. Now, what I'd like to do is, as we close and even prepare ourselves to receive the Lord's Supper after lunch, just a couple practical steps that help us to more effectively greet one another in Christ. I've already touched on it, but we cannot greet people we don't care about. And I believe the need is for us to cultivate in our hearts a true loving concern for others outside of our own circle of friends. That relationship, that fellowship that we have in Christ, cultivate that. And there's no shortcut for doing it other than just doing it, cultivating it. Asking God to convict you and show your heart to you. And maybe there's some selfishness. Maybe there's some pride there. Before you can come to offer alms, the Bible says you're to go to your brother you have an ought with. I believe before you come to the Lord's table, you should go to another brother that you can't greet for some reason on the Lord's day. If you've sinned against someone, go and ask them and take the initiative and seek forgiveness. If someone sinned against you, go to them and find out what the ought is. And in so doing, work out a reconciliation. Well, oftentimes what you'll find out is there was just misunderstanding. You presume certain things, they presume certain things, and you had division amongst yourself, and there was no issue at all, and it's easily worked through. That's group sanctification. Secondly, make a serious effort to develop sincere interest in other people. If you don't, you will never feel comfortable greeting them on the Lord's Day or any other time. You'll always be running away and blaming other people why they're not friendly because you have been yourself a very unfriendly person. could be that you're a person, you say, you know, I feel like I'm invisible. No one ever comes up and talks to me. I always sit over by myself. I'm always isolated. I don't feel part of the group. Well, what do you do if you're a believer, according to Philippians chapter 4? The Bible says we're all to greet one another. And so the exhortation to those who are being ignored is to go out and greet others, not sit back and be the victim. That means getting up and introducing yourself and talking to other people and beginning the process yourself. It's a two-way street. So you don't want to run away and blame others in this process. And if you have difficulty expressing sincere affection and a love for one another, your problem might be one of two. Either you're self-centered, always think of yourself first, have no room in your life for other people, evidencing perhaps even a heart that's not converted. Or it could be something as simple as the fact that you just are uncomfortable around other people and have to deal with that in your own heart before the Lord. But the solution's the same. You've got to stop forgetting about yourself and start thinking about other people and putting other people before yourself. And reach out to others as God gives you opportunity. I mean, what should happen is, as people come in the doors, we should what? All go greet one another. And this should be a dynamic that's going on all over the place. And no one should be neglected. And that greeting is more than just, hey, how are you? It's, hey, how was your week? How are things going? In fact, it should be the kind of relationship of greeting one another where we can care about the spiritual condition of one another, and we get down to a level where, how are things going in your Christian life? And what can I pray for you for, and what areas of need do you have? And if you're not willing to put yourself aside, you'll never grow spiritually and never grow fully in the body of Christ. So, as we exhort one another from Philippians 4, let's purpose as a church. Let's purpose as fellow believers in Christ that by the grace of God, by His help, that God would fill us with such mutual love for one another that we'll be a church that greets. Here on Lord's Day, in the hospitals, in the homes, in the streets, along the way. Because what we're going to see is this is what produces joy in the Christian life. This is what builds faith in the hearts of God's people. This is what encourages those who are downcast and brings faith to unbelievers and ultimately glorifies God. And I'm encouraged. Don't misread me. I'm encouraged because we're growing in this area. But I just believe we've got some blind spots. We have some areas where we need to make our focus a little. Look out. Look to everyone in the body of Christ. Look to everyone in this room. Everyone that has lunch with us. Stop sitting in the same place downstairs. And make that, that's my seat. And this is where my family eats. And think about, well, could I move over there? Could I move over here? Could I sit over here? And could I be an encouragement to someone over here? And could I greet someone over here? Oh, there's someone by themselves over there. Let me take my food over there. I mean, that's the kind of dynamic where we're greeting one another, but the dynamic where we all go back into our own pattern and we're all talking to our own people and greeting our own people, we've lost it. We've lost the sense of greeting one another. Now, as we close this morning, let me ask you this question. Have you been greeted by God? Has God greeted you personally in the name of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? And by that I mean, when you're greeted by God, God brings you to His Son. And His Son is the one who brought peace between you and the Heavenly Father. And that all that come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ become adopted sons and daughters of God. And now you have fellowship with God Himself. You can't greet the brethren unless you become a brethren. You can't greet the sisters in Christ unless you are a sister in Christ. And so we close with just a reminder that if you're without Christ, here's an opportunity. We see that Christ Himself has died on the cross. In paying the penalty for sins, He has made it possible Now made it possible. And not only possible, he's made it absolutely certain that everyone who would come to trust in him would come to faith in Christ and be an adopted son or daughter and be greeted not only by him forever, but by his people here on earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. It's an area, Lord, of great need in all of our hearts. And help us, Lord, to step out of our comfort zone, out of those areas, Lord, where we feel that, we can't operate. We feel fear and trepidation. Lord, I pray you'd give us a grace to learn each other's names, a grace to visit with one another, and a grace that would have a concern for the souls of one another, the spiritual depths and needs of one another. And Lord, that would be a great display of your love and the affection you've put in our heart through Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. I want to close.